Today, I want to talk about heeding the light. Heed the light. When I say heed the light, what am I really saying? Pay attention to the Lord. Pay attention to the Father, the Son, and in this age, especially the Holy Spirit. Why in this age? Because He's living in you. He's guiding you. If, you see, here's the big if. If you allow Him, He will guide you. He'll do everything He can to guide you, whether you want Him to or not. If you really believe in Christ, if you really made that confession of faith, if you truly want to follow Jesus, the Holy Spirit will do His best to get you to do it. But we sometimes get in the way, don't we? Okay. There's a remedy for that. Do you know what the remedy is? It's to confess and ask forgiveness and say, make a new commitment to follow the Holy Spirit. Follow the Holy Spirit. If you follow the Holy Spirit, you'll be following the Lord. You'll be following the Father. Because they are one. They're one. Follow one, follow them all, right? That's what we want to talk. Heed the Holy Spirit. Follow Him. Yield to His promptings. Be in His Word. You know the Holy Spirit gave you this, right? Be in the Word which He gave you. Why did He give it to us? For our strength and our walk with the Lord. If you want to walk in the Spirit, you got to walk in this Word. That's the way it is. That's what we're going to talk about today. Let's pray. You're so good to us, Father. You gave us everything we need to please You. And in that pleasing of You, we are pleased as well. We are blessed beyond measure by making that effort of yielding to the Holy Spirit. Because we know when we yield to You, Holy Spirit, we are yielding to our Lord. We are yielding to our Father. Help us always to remember that. It's about following You, doing Your will, showing Your love, helping others in Your name. When we do that, Lord, we leave ourselves behind. And we work for You. And what a wonderful work it is. Help us to be of that mindset, moment by moment, every day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We're talking about living a holy life. When you're walking in the Spirit, you are attempting to live the holy life. How do we live a holy life? Well, if you were listening, I just told you. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. And what? You will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Oh, there's a battle going on. Every moment. There's a battle going on right now in the minds of some of us sitting here. And the battle, even though you're not in it at the moment, it'll come back. The enemy is relentless.
Amen.
He never gives up. He never rests. Oh, he's not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere at once like the Lord. But he has little minions, demons that help him out, make you think that he is there. But it's not him. It's just his little followers. Do we have strength over them?
Yes.
Oh, amen, we have strength over them. Call on the name of the Lord. And you will be saved. That means from every little thing. Every little thing. Not just the big stuff. Not just your eternal redemption. Yes, that comes. But it doesn't end with that. It continues on because God knows we need Him every moment. Amen. And you know it too. The good thing is that by being here, you're admitting that, you need God. You need Jesus. You need to walk in the Spirit. So in order to address the question of how to live a holy life, we must first understand what does holy mean? What does holy mean? To be holy means to be set apart in its simplest meaning. Set apart from what?
World.
The world. Set apart from the world. Don't follow the world. Follow this, the Word of God. Amen?
Amen?
You can't see Jesus. You can't see the Holy Spirit. But you can see the Word of God. You can take it in and internalize it and follow it. And then you'll be walking in the Spirit. It's His Word, God. He gave it to us. Amen? Set apart, separated from sin and evil. Is that what the world is?
It is.
Of course it is. It's a fallen, finite world. It's coming to an end.
Amen.
Everything in it's coming to an end, including this. This flesh is coming to an end. But our life isn't coming to an end. Our spirit isn't coming to an end. We're going to be living on. Question is, where? Well, you're here because you know where you want to be.
Amen.
You want to be with the Lord in glory. Amen?
Amen?
All right, but what about those people out there? They need to hear, don't they? They need to hear God's message. Who's going to give it to them?
Amen.
You got it. You're going to give it to them. You've been called not just to salvation, but to be the announcer. The Lord has come. He loves you. He wants to buy you back. He paid the price. All you have to do is accept it. And then you can be one of His. Amen? Set apart to all of that work. God is holy. So it's just like saying, the Father is holy. Jesus our Lord is holy. The Holy Spirit is holy. They're all holy. They're all set apart from this world. And if you want to walk with them, you're not walking with the world. You're walking with them. So cut off all those ties of walking in the world. That's what we need to do. That's what growing in the Lord really is when you get right down to it. It's cutting off those worldly ties and becoming holy, separated from the world, living for the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
Completely separate from everything that is evil. All right, go home, take that TV and rip it off the wall and throw it out in the yard.
Amen.
Smash that radio, get rid of that computer. By the way, this can go too, right? Wouldn't it be nice if we could do that, right? But we have to operate in this world. We have to be made known. We have to be aware of what's going on. We need to hear the news. But we don't have to bow down to it. Because we know who is in control of the news. Oh, not looking that good in the Middle East right now. Don't forget, He's in control. He'll bring us through it. How do I know that? Holy Spirit told us through His Word. Amen?
Yeah.
His Word, John, 1 John 1:5, confirms God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. He is holy, no evil in Him. God created humanity to be what? Like Him. That's how we were created. But then somebody messed up, didn't they?
Yep.
And now we're trying to get back. But we're not alone in that. God Almighty is on our side. That should be good news, hasn't it? We're not alone in this. And God commands us to be like Him. He says so in 1 Peter 1:16. Be holy. That's a commandment. Oh, it's a short one for sure. But it's a commandment. Be holy. That's the positive side. What's the negative side? Don't be evil. And there's no middle ground. Either you're holy or you're not holy, you're evil. One or the other. Which path are you walking? And you can't just say at the end of the day or sometime during the day or first thing in the morning that you're going to walk it. No, you have to keep checking all the time. It's not a big deal to check, right? You just ask the Lord. You whisper a little prayer. That's all you have to do. Keeps you on track. But it's vital for us to understand that won't happen unless we are in God's Word. We live God's Word. That's why He gave it to us. He didn't give it to us to throw it up on the shelf and pull it out on Sunday morning and go to church with it. No. It's there 24/7. You get up in the middle of the night one night and see if your Bible isn't still there. I'll bet it'll be there. And you can use it as much as you want. It's there so we can closely follow the Holy Spirit. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Follow the Holy Spirit, living a holy life through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why He's in us, to help us live it. And that's what we want to do. Isn't that what you want to do?
Amen.
Don't you want to, when you stand before the Lord, He's going to say, oh, good job. Good job. You followed the direction. You had the manual. You even hid some of it in your mind and your heart and followed it. That's a great feeling, isn't it? The power of the Spirit. So after salvation, believers must make a commitment. Oh, they believed. They have faith in the Lord. He saved me. But that's not the end. That's just the beginning. Next comes the commitment. What is the commitment? I will live for the Lord. I'll follow the Lord. I'll walk in the Spirit. That's the commitment. Walk in the Spirit, living under the direction of God's Word, the Holy Scripture given to us by the Holy Spirit, so that God can be not only in us, helping us, but we can be giving it out from His Word, from our knowledge that we get from that. Amen?
Amen?
He wants us to be proactive. He wants us to be on the job. He wants us to be witnessing and proclaiming His name. Yes, that's what He wants. But you have to remember something. All of that, trying to live a holy life, is not being done to earn your salvation.
Right.
You don't have to earn your salvation. Did you know that?
Yeah.
You don't have to earn it. It's a free gift.
Amen.
All you have to do is claim it. Amen. Lord Jesus, I trust in You. I know You went to the cross, shed Your blood, gave Your body, all for me. I believe it. I trust it. And I know one day You'll come back. And even if You don't come back before, I'll go to You. Because Your Word tells me that's true. Does it not? Yes, it does. So we need to live the holy life, not to earn salvation. But why? Why do we do it? To proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ. So people will say to you, why do you act the way you do? Why don't you just do everything everybody else is doing? Cuss like a sailor and drink like a sailor. Sorry if you're a sailor. But that's the reputation that's out there. No, you don't live that way. You live a holy life, committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, guided by the Holy Spirit, living for the Lord, separated from the world and the things that it does and the way that it lives. That's what we're supposed to be doing. How are you doing? Yes, every now and then you're supposed to take a little inventory. and see how you're doing with that. And guess what? If you're not doing too good with it, He doesn't kick you out. No. He says, just ask me, I'll come closer. Just ask me, I'll get closer. Just ask me, I'll lead you more. But you gotta make a commitment. You gotta yield. You gotta give up some of that desire. You gotta give up some of those worldly wants. Right? They're not needs. The enemy just tries to make you believe that. They're not needs. They're mostly just wants, desires. Will you ever make a mistake? Of course. Hey, growth involves mistakes. Who won the Super Bowl last year? Anybody remember? Nah, nobody even remembers. But what did that team that won have to do? They had to practice, right? And did they still make mistakes? Did they all get fired when they made that mistake? No, what'd they do? They all got back in the huddle and said, look, we made a mistake. We got to do it this way now. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing with us. You tripped up, you made a mistake, but hey, you're still on the team. You're still in the team, and the Holy Spirit's in you. So you don't give up. You just keep going, but you make another commitment. You ask for forgiveness, and you recommit, and you keep going. Amen? When we fail, our response should be, confess it. Confess it. And if you need to go to somebody and say, I'm sorry, I realize I did what I did, and I'm sorry. And hey, if you have to, sometimes make restitution. But hopefully it wasn't that bad, right? But you ask for forgiveness and tell them you're sorry, and what happens? Your sin is washed away. It's washed away. You see, the blood of Christ isn't a one-time thing. It's living. It keeps cleansing after that first time. It cleanses more every time you admit it and give it up. It cleanses you again. It refreshes your spirit so that you're ready to move on. Amen? When we fail, our response should be to confess and keep moving forward in our Christian walk. That's what Romans, it's 1 John 1:9. I think I have some notes here somewhere. Yeah, you know, I'm getting old. My old age, I'm getting old. That happens. When you get old, you lose some things, right? So at any rate, I made some extra notes just in case. So, doesn't matter if you fall as long as you confess and ask forgiveness. Amen?
Amen.
And then Scripture says in Romans 8:1, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Your condemnation has been wiped away forever, except for the new one. You fall, you sin, what do you need to do? Ask for forgiveness. If it's just something you did against the Lord, you ask Him. If somebody else is involved, you have to include them. You have to ask both of them. And then you are cleansed, you're refreshed. It's all good. God's grace doesn't disappear when we make mistakes.
Amen.
His grace is still there, waiting for you and I to say, I'm so sorry. I know what I did, and I ask you to forgive me. That's what you're supposed to do. Will you do it?
Yes.
Oh, I got one yes.
Yes.
Will you do it?
Yes.
Oh, listen, if you want to be happy in Jesus, like the song says, you better do it.
Amen.
Otherwise, it's going to come back and bite you. Yes, it will. Once we have taken the step to salvation, we are declared righteous. Romans 5:1. I hope this is the right one because I don't have the verse there. Therefore, we have been justified by faith. What's the meaning of justified? Well, let me give you the simple Baptist version of the definition of justified. Justified, never sinned. That's what justification is. Justified, never sinned. When I ask forgiveness, I'm forgiven. The slate is wiped clean. Never happened. The Lord's not going to call me down on that when I get to glory. It's all going to be good. All going to be good. Once we have taken the step of salvation, we are declared righteous. What does it look like to be actually righteous? To live a holy life? Has that thought ever crossed your mind? What is it like to be holy? It's amazing what will come across your mind if you start reading the Scripture. You might think about it, right? What does it look like to actually be righteous and live a holy life? Well, in 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 through 8, Paul, the Apostle Paul, gives us a snapshot. He says, it is God's will that you be sanctified. That just means set apart. Set apart from the world, like being holy, right? Set apart from the world, sanctified. That you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable. Not in passionate lust, like the pagans who do not know God. Now listen, we give Paul credit for that, don't we? It's not Paul. It's the Holy Spirit. Writing through Paul. How does the Holy Spirit know that just about all humanity is all hung up on this sex thing? Because He knows. But you don't stop with that. You go on to all the good stuff in the Lord, right? You avoid that sexual immorality. Is that the only kind of immorality there is in the world? Of course not. So you deal with all the rest of it the same exact way. You ask for forgiveness and you flee from that. You abandon that thought life and you abandon that going to. You don't go there anymore because you know that your flesh can't stand it. If you go there, your flesh is going to give in. So you can't go. That's all there is to it. Avoid immorality, along with avoiding sexual immorality and keeping sex within God's design for marriage. You know, God has a design for that, right? So you got to keep it within those parameters. That's the best way to do it, because then you're pleasing God. Pardon me while I'm tidying up here. We should live a holy life of obedience. Oh, I thought the crowd would go crazy. Yeah, praise the Lord. Yeah, that's what I got to do. Wow. Man. Are y'all saved? Yeah. Okay, good. Just a little temperature check there, right? All areas of our life, that's where we need to be. That's what we need to be giving into. We live a whole life, don't we? So we need to give it up in all areas. How can we know to live in obedience to God and stay separate from evil? How do we know? We know by the Word of God. That's why we have it. This is the guidebook, right? This is the manual. We know by that. So Scripture is the key. We must be in God's Word more than just once, twice, or three times a week. Amen. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Thursday night. No, there's more to it than that. We need to be in it every day, every chance we get. Why do you have a Bible app on your phone? So you can pull it out and read the Scripture anytime, any place you want. Amen. And you can look up things that you need help with. Amen? Amen. We have to be in it. We must become our living connection to the Lord. Are you alive? Amen. Is He alive? Yes. Do you have the connection? Yes. Are you building the connection? Yes. Good. That phone with the Scriptures in it can help you build it, right? Now, I know that because 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 tells us that. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It's good for you. It's good for doctrine. What you should believe, right? That's doctrine. What should I believe? Doctrine. And it's good for reproof, right? It's good for fixing those mistakes. It's good for correction, identifying and fixing mistakes. And it's good for instruction in righteousness. Amen. That's a big one. Do you know how to live in righteousness?
Yeah.
Every little thing? Does God expect you to know every little thing?
No.
No, He doesn't. That's why He gave you the manual.
Amen.
So something comes along and you get a question in your mind and you think, wow, I wonder what God thinks about that. So you get your Bible and you go to your concordance and you pick a key word and you look for that in the Scripture. But you're not working alone. The Holy Spirit is working with you because He knows you want to know and He's going to help you know it. So He helps you find the passage that's going to talk about that thing. And you're going to read that passage. You're going to say, wow, now I know. Now I know what to do about that. Now I know how to advise others on what to do. I can tell them, go to this Scripture and read it, and they'll find out. Amen?
Amen?
God's Word equips us for life. That's why we have it, so we'll know how to live. Amen?
Amen?
All right, praise God. I'm glad you're with me here on this. All Scripture is good for that, equipping us for life. The Holy Spirit is telling us all Scripture is essential. Not good, not just good. It's essential. We got familiar with that word a couple of years ago, didn't we? Essential. It's essential to our walk with the Lord in this world. Scripture is essential for our walk in the Holy Spirit. That's what we really want. When you get right down to where the rubber meets the road, you're talking about walking in the Spirit. Yes, Jesus is still alive. He's up on the throne in glory. Holy Spirit is here in you, guiding you, helping you walk the walk and talk the talk. But He wants more than talk. He wants you to walk the walk. And that's what He's willing to do. Be here with you and help you. He is essential to our walk. Paul highlights four main functions of God's Word, the Apostle Paul. He gives us these four functions. He says, teaching, and these are coming from 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, teaching, warning, that's rebuking, correcting, because we go off track, and instructing in righteousness. How do we live? Ever read Francis Schaeffer?
Yeah.
How do we then live? We've had a holy God come into this world and make it possible for us to be holy. How should we live? Well, we should accept that Savior that was proclaimed, right? And we should follow the Holy Spirit that He left for us. That's how we should then live. We should live in Christ by following the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen?
Instruction refers to the entire education and training of a disciple, developing both mind and morals. Morals is kind of like actions, right? Being trained in those things. When should that start happening, that training?
Yeah.
How about in the womb? Amen. Do you know there are women who read Scripture to their children in the womb? Yeah. Yeah, they do that. And then, you know, you come to church and you bring the children and you have them in the Bible studies and they grow up in the church. What does the Scripture say about that? Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he grows older, he will not depart. But I'm going to tell you, They might depart for a while, but if they really got it, they'll be back.
Amen.
They'll be back. You just keep praying. You keep waiting. You keep calling the Lord, asking the Holy Spirit to guide them. They'll be back. Amen?
Amen.
Paul, the apostle, called Timothy my true child in the faith. As far as I know, they were not blood related, except through the blood of Christ. But he took him as a child. He trained him up. He had a godly mother, and I believe an aunt too, right, Ryan? There was a household there of believers, and they trained him up. And Paul considered Timothy a spiritual son as he had helped raise Timothy to do what? Be a minister for the Lord. And he did. He ministered for the Lord God Almighty. In the original Greek, the word translated righteousness speaks of a moral standard of knowing right from wrong. Do we know right from wrong?
Yes.
Pretty much, don't we? Okay? If we ever have a question about right and wrong, what do? Right here. Not just the dictionary, right? It's the concordance. We can find the answer we look for. The Bible provides this instruction by shining a light on what is wrong in our walk with Christ. Do you realize that? When that thought comes into your mind, maybe I ought not be doing that. That's the Holy Spirit getting a hold of your heart and giving a little squeeze and saying, hey, maybe you ought to consider what you're doing. Make a little bit of change there, right? He will remind us of what we should be doing. Like 2 Peter 1:19 says, we would do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place. Now that's a nice way to think of the Holy Spirit. A light shining in a dark place. Oh, the heart can be a dark place. It needs the light of Christ brought by the Holy Spirit to get it back to life, right? We need to heed God's Word as the moral standards under which we as believers live. This is our standard right here. You have a question about morality? There's the answer right in there. Go back in there and find it. We need to heed those things. And we need to then teach what God's Word is telling us about the morality of our life and the wrong thinking and actions that we might be up to and how to correct that and move forward. You know what that's called? Spiritual growth. That's what spiritual growth is. Leaving behind the junk that you brought in and taking out the good things that Christ and the Holy Spirit are putting in there. That's spiritual growth. You learn how to deal with it. And you do deal with it. You go where the rubber meets the road. And you take care of business. Amen?
Amen.
We do what's right. It's like Psalm 119:9 tells us, how can a young person cleanse their way? By taking heed according to God's Word. That's how they cleanse their way. The light comes on. The Holy Spirit, boom, enters in. And then they have to make a choice, don't they? Yeah, make that choice. Make a positive choice. Because we all need that. We can think of God's Word as the spiritual trainer and loving parent who only wants our best. That's what He is. He's our spiritual parent that wants the best for us. And if we follow Him, we'll get the best. We should immerse ourselves in God's Word to rely on the Holy Spirit and teach us God's truth. Then we can't be fooled.
Amen.
Lean on God's truth and you will be able to walk in the Spirit. That's what He wants for all of us. Trusting Him to lead us in life and service. Yes. Lead us in life and service. Isn't that what we should want as believers?
Yes.
His leading. Instruction in righteousness is our entire education and training as disciples of Christ, transforming God's Word in us to be actively guiding our daily life moment by moment.
Amen.
That's where we should be at as believers. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." That means either way you go with it, it'll cut to the truth and bring you along with it, right? It's going to give you the truth, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. Can you tell the difference between your soul and spirit?
Yes.
Get in the Word, find out. "And of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of," not your mind, "your heart." Your heart is what tells your mind what to do. It's called desire. What's your desire? Is my desire to live a godly life, walking in the Spirit, or is it doing something else? I can't name one thing because there's a gazillion of them out there. Right? We need to be walking in the Spirit. The Bible contains instruction in righteousness for every aspect of life. You believe that? Every aspect of life. It teaches us how to use time, finances, relationships, even raising children. It goes into all that. When Paul says all Scripture, he means every single part of God's Word is for instruction of God's people. The believer who delights in God's Word and meditates on it day and night is blessed. Psalm 1:1-3, this person is like a tree planted by streams of water. You know what the water is? It's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit you're turning to. Scripture is the principal channel by which God grows His children to mature spiritual maturity. That's how we should be bringing each other along, not just our children, but one another. We're helping each other to achieve spiritual maturity and know how to function in this world as a believer. Nobody's going to have success in their walk of faith without God's Word. You must be in it. It is essential. Otherwise, where is your guideline coming from? No one will have success without it. The Bible is God's inspired Word gifted to us who are in the Lord. You think people in the world care about God's Word? They don't care about it until the Holy Spirit finally gets their attention. And He doesn't do bad things to them to get their attention. That's not what I'm saying. We do enough stupid bad things ourselves. He doesn't need to cause things to happen. He comes in and helps us get out of the stuff we created. That's what He does. So that we can be like that tree planted by the stream of water. He brings us to spiritual maturity. And we won't have success without His Word. The Bible is God's inspired Word. There's no argument about that. That's it. You want to know what God's thinking and what He wants you to do? Here it is, right here. Just open it up and start reading. Oh, you can use other books to guide you. You can use the... Old mind is a terrible thing, right? Use the Scripture to help you find the Scriptures you're looking for, right? What's that thing in the back of the Bible? It has... What is it?
Concordance.
The concordance. That's what I'm trying to say. Hiding God's Word in your heart. There's a good way. Then you can skip that concordance sometime. Hide God's Word in your heart. What will it do? Keep you from sin. That's why it's in there. Oh, be careful. Don't go that way. He won't do something to make you stop, you know, something bad. But He'll remind you that that's not the way. Don't go that way. Because if you do, bad things will happen. So don't go that way. Not good. When we live in obedience to God, we are staying separate from evil and offering our bodies as living sacrifices. You know, when it comes right down to it, that's what it is, living a Christian life of Christian morality. It's being a living sacrifice. You're not going the way of the world. You're sacrificing all that stuff to go the way the Lord wants you to go. The way we should go. The purpose of living a holy life is to glorify God and display His nature. That's why we're supposed to love one another and encourage one another and help one another. That's what God would do. He does it every day for us, doesn't He? Yes, if we allow it, allow it. It's His nature to lead us to a holy life. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Living a holy life of obedience to God is living actively saved. Well, I'm just giving you a new term. I just invented that. Live actively saved. All right, what are you imagining? What does it mean to live actively saved? Imitate Jesus. Do what He would do. WWJD. You know. The bracelet. What would He do? What would He do? Right? What's the first commandment? No, it's not love your neighbor. Love the Lord your God with all that you are. I'm kind of shrinking it a little bit. Love the Lord with all you are, body, soul, mind, and spirit. And the second one is like it, which is?
Love your neighbor.
Love your neighbor like you want to be loved. Help your neighbor like you want to be helped. Guide your neighbor like you want to be guided. Defend your neighbor like you want to be defended. There's a lot to that, isn't there? We have the promise from God about our true freedom from sin's grip. 1 John 4:4. You, dear children, are from God.
Amen.
You claimed Him as your Savior. He said, yes, I will save you. Welcome to the family. You are from God now. And you have overcome Satan. You've overcome Satan. He's the one that's controlling the world right now. He's in charge of the whole mess. But you've overcome that because you are a child of God now. You're in the family. And because you are in the family, God is in you. And what's the end of that verse? Greater is He that is in you than he who is in the world. You have the promise. The Holy Spirit will produce Christ-like power in us, every one of us, as we obey. There's the key. Obey. Here's the directions. Obey them. I know every one of you men in here has tried to put something together without the directions. Lord knows I've done it many a time. Well, what are these for? I don't know. I didn't need them. Here. Obey. Obedience is the key. He's given us everything we need if we will obey, if we'll follow the directions. Be obedient. Obey. That means we have to overcome moi. We have to overcome self in order to obey. Because we don't want to do that. That's not something I want to do. I don't want to go there. I don't like that place. I'm not going to help those people. They did such and such. I know. We can come up with every excuse in the world, can't we?
Amen.
Do you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and spirit?
Yes.
So see, you have to go outside of yourself and do some things that you might not like. Make sure they're godly. I'm not saying go out there and just do whatever you want. No, I'm saying you follow the Holy Spirit. Don't get in trouble outside of that, right? Obey. Overcome yourself. Yield to a holy life, overcoming the flesh by walking in the Spirit. What is walking in the Spirit? It's obeying the Holy Spirit, God's Word. He gave you God's Word. Obey Him. Obey it. And you will overcome your flesh. And on those occasions you don't, He will forgive you. If you ask Him to. As Romans 6:11 says, count yourselves dead to sin. I can't do that. I'm dead. I can't do it. I'm dead to that. You'd be amazed how many things in your life you can say that about if you just become aware of it. But you have to become aware of it. That's not something I can do. That's not pleasing to my Lord. So I can't do that anymore. Count yourselves dead to it. Anytime we face temptation, cry out, I'm dead to that. Try it. Cry out with me. I'm dead to that. I'm living in Christ. Is it that hard? You'll know it when you need to say it. In your spirit, you'll know. I need to say, I'm dead to that. I'm living in Christ. There's the challenge for you today. By the power of the Holy Spirit of God, live a holy life separate from sin. And as soon as you say that, sin is going to come out of the woodwork everywhere to challenge you. So just be ready. And what are you going to say?
I'm dead
to that. I'm living for Christ. I'm telling you, it's going to come. Born again, children of the Most High, clothed with the righteousness of Christ.
Amen.
That's who you are. Born again, children of the Most High God, clothed with the righteousness of Christ.
Amen.
We have the benefit of being born again into the body of Christ. We have the benefit of fellowship with other believers, encouraging one another, accountable to the Holy Spirit, which is a great source of encouragement to one another. Are we using our persona for encouragement? That's what we should be doing, encouraging one another. Sometimes that means you mention something that maybe they need to address, but you do it with a loving countenance. You're a reminder, not a rebuker. Okay? There's a difference. You remind them as the born again of God, we are called to encourage one another in all of these things. Hebrews 10:24 and 25 says, let us consider one another. So it's not like we're doing something we shouldn't be doing. We should be doing it. That's why the church is in the state it's in today. Because sin is just winked at. Oh, they'll get over it. No, sometimes you have to call people to accountability. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. It's not to get on somebody and chastise them. It's to help them do the right thing and show them the love they need. If you turn your back on them and walk away, are you showing love?
No.
No, you're not helping them. Show them the love. And then it goes on and says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Why do we assemble ourselves together? Well, yes, we know we're learning about God's Word, walking in the Spirit. But what else does it do? It gives us an opportunity to share the good things that we should be doing and be encouraging. And it goes on and says, that's the manner, assembling ourselves together, as is the manner of some, exhorting one another. You know what that is? Exhorting one another? It's calling each other out. Calling each other out to good works. To good works. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Do you see the day approaching? Do you know how long that war over there in the Middle East is going to last?
No.
It's going to last as long as He wants it to last. And if it's the war that's spoken of in Ezekiel 38, He's going to come and end it. Yeah. No, it won't be the end of the world. It'll just be the end of that war. But it'll be the beginning of something way more important.
Oh, sure.
We might be jetting out of here without the jet. Is that an impossibility? Of course not. We know it's coming, don't we? We long for the day that we're going to see Christ in the presence of Him. We can't even imagine it. Oh, it's going to be exciting, but we can't imagine. That day is coming. That's why we should be doing these things. So that we all have a great time when we get there. Amen? Share the Lord with everyone you know. The time is growing short. Share the Lord with everyone you know. Tell them the time is growing short. You need Jesus Christ. You need the Lord. You need His salvation. Tell them that. They might not like it. But wouldn't you rather tell them and have them not like it than have to stand before the Lord and say, I should have told them?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. I don't really want to lay a guilt trip on you. So, what do we need to do? We need to commit. We need to commit to living for Jesus. Walking in the Spirit. Sharing His Word. Amen?
Amen.
Ryan, come on up, please. Thank you.
Tell the world.
Look at that. Praise the Lord. I could bend over and pick it up. Praise God. All right. When you're young, you never think about those things, right? Oh, you can identify. All right. So, we need to make a commitment. Have you made the commitment? First commitment, give my life to Christ because He gave His life for me. Get born again. Second commitment, identify with Him in baptism. Be baptized. Third commitment, walk in the Spirit, sharing Him. Sharing the Lord with others that I encounter. Why? They need it. They need Him. He's the it they need. Of course, we know He's way more than an it.
Oh, yeah.
Are you going to commit to that?
Sure.
Tell Him.
Amen.
And then do what He calls you to do. If that's tell somebody about Him, speak the name, go help somebody, give them some food, give them some water, whatever He calls you to do, commit to doing it. Let's sing.